Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the protection of the tongue, we are busy with number 127. As I say, speak the truth, never speak lies. However, to mend relations between two people, if a person speaks a lie, there is no harm. You can consult the ulama what type of lies. Do not praise a person on his face to flatter him. If a person wants to praise someone in his absence, then too do not exaggerate and make such claims as if they are categorically true. Only Allah knows reality. Rather say, according to my knowledge, so and so person is like this. Also only say this when in your mind you truly regard it to be true. Never backbite. Besides being a sin, it has much other worldly harm. The reality of backbiting is that one speaks of another in his absence such words that if he comes to know of it, he would feel hurt, even though this quality is within him. If the quality is not in the person, then this is even worse. It is slander. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the advices, Hazrat Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was seeking from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu goes on saying that if he asked for more, that he asked more advices, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam advised that he should cultivate fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is the root and basis of all spiritual actions. Hazrat Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala who then begged for more advice, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be constant in recitation of the Quran Majid and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is a nur in this world and a provision in the hereafter. Hazrat Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu again sought further advice and was told, abstain from too much of laughter, because it causes the heart to wither and the face loses its luster. Too much of laughter is injurious both for the outward and inward dispositions of men. Hazrat Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu sought further advice, whereupon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, stick to jihad, because this is the rahbaniyat of my ummah. Rahban, the person who involves himself in rahbaniyat is known as rahban, and the singular of is rahib, where they are those people who from the previous ummahs who severed all their worldly connections and turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala asked for more advice, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, associate yourself with poor and the needy. Be friendly with them and sit in their company. When Hazrat Abu Zar radiyallahu ta'ala requested further advice, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look towards those who rank below you, so that you make good use to being thankful. And do not look at those who rank above you, lest you should despise the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. May Allah give us tawfiq of making aman, inshaAllah.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Following up with our talk of yesterday, that first Allah put it in our hearts that this dunya is not for us. We are not here for the sake of dunya. We are here for akhirat. In order to strengthen this in us, that is what is called islah, what is called tazkiyah. And for that, all the things which I usually mention, one is tilawat of Quran, recitation of Quran. How much a person will read more Quran Sharif, this aqidah will become stronger in him. This dunya is just a temporary phase. It is only glitter and glamour. It's just a bubble. It is only a shadow. It is temporary. And akhirat is my real object of life. And a person will focus. How much a person reads more Quran Sharif, make zikr of Allah Ta'ala, stay in the sohbat of the pious people, particularly his own sheikh also. And that is that a person, the real pious people are that whether they are giving bayan or whether they are sitting, having meals or just a discussion, it is about deen, about akhirat. Not that they talking also about dunya. While bayan is carrying on, it is about deen, any aspect of deen. But on a private time or off time, then we also talking of dunya, various things of dunya. In fact, even getting involved in backbiting, such sohbet won't benefit us. But that sohbet that we see, that this person all the time is taking lesson, is preparing, is talking about akhirat. And a person who gets such sohbet, his life changes also accordingly. His object also becomes the akhirat. So also, if the person whose sohbet we are sitting in, if akhirat's yaqidah is not coming strong, then it is either his weakness or our weakness. We are not taking the benefit of it. But this also should become part. This is islah. This is tazkiyah, that we are beginning to focus on akhirat, which in the tafsir, that when nur comes into the heart of a person, how will a person know? That automatically that nur, at-tajafa anid-daril ghurur, that you become disinclined to dunya now. And not only disinclined to dunya, our Shaykh Damat Barakatuh explains it beautifully, that now you're not doing dunya's work, you're sleeping all the time, just eating, getting fat all the time, and you say that now at-tajafa anid-daril ghurur. No, that must be replaced now. You get fired from dunya and you get hired for akhirat. That is when the wal-inabatu ila daril khulud. Your inclination now increase and you work for akhirat now. You are making ibadat, you are saving yourself from guna, etc. Wal-istidat lil-maut qabla nuzulihi. And that a person is ready for maut before maut comes. This is preparation of akhirat. This Allah commands in this ayat, and the subject matter of the Quran is this, that prepare for akhirat. Dunya is just a temporary abode. And also dunya, they are various. It is also the example we tried and give yesterday, that this dunya is like a sea, the water, on which you have to need water for your ship to travel on. But it's not your object. And if water starts coming in your ship, then your ship is going to sink, and you all will drown also. So that's not your object. Your object is your destination. So like that, an example, that we have made a destination, we want to go somewhere, whichever place it might be. Now it doesn't mean that we have made this niyat, now we just are going to get there, and we are going to discard everything. We're not going to fill petrol also. We say that, no, it is a waste of time. I have to get to my destination. You won't reach your destination there. And you've got a flat tire, you say, no, I'm not worried, I can't waste time in this. I'll just carry on like this. You won't reach your destination. Or there's a stop street, traffic light, you say, I'm not going to stop. I have to reach my destination. So that is wrong. So your destination is the akhirat, but you'll fill up petrol also in this dunya. You'll eat also, you'll have wife, you'll have children, you'll do business. But just like that filling station is, you don't get enjoyment there. And enjoy and go there and you waste your time there, etc. No, you realize I've got my destination. Perhaps you'll stop for some other thing also on the way. But you know I can't waste time here. And especially if you've got a time limit that you have to reach there, or you've got an appointment, something by certain time. And our destination, akhirat, and the time limit is there, we haven't been told. So you have to be ready, istidad lil maut qabla nuzul, be ready all the time. When your safar is, when your plane is, it's there, you have been booked already. But you haven't been told, any time you will have to go. So how much more ready mustn't a person be? So that is that we have to prepare for akhirat. Also we hear this commonly, that we must prepare for akhirat. But what does it really mean? We just hear the words, and also whenever we talk to anyone, especially ulama, when we give bayans, etc., and even when we individually we talk to anyone, never leave the person hanging in the air. What I mean by that, like for example, you gave a wonderful bayan, Jummah bayan, any other bayan on salat, that the importance of namaz, the benefits of namaz, but then you left it there. You didn't explain the next point, where can you get your namaz to be made like that. Like for example, you may give an advert in a newspaper anywhere, but you don't give any contact details. You advertise that this guy is very good and it's going very cheap, it's a bargain, but you didn't give any contact details. Now you left a person in the air. Where must he get the thing? So all our bayans also connect it, that you have to go to the ulama, go to the mashayikh, sit in their gatherings, acquire knowledge of deen. And where will you acquire knowledge? Explain that also. Because today person will go to kitabs, he'll go to internet. And that is not where you get knowledge. Knowledge, the proper, acceptable knowledge, which you get from ulama-i haq, rabbaniyin. That is where you get the proper knowledge. Otherwise, you'll be misled on your own. Therefore, it's very dangerous to read kitabs on our own. Just for example, ayats of the Quran also. What will naturally happen, we'll put our own interpretation in there. Hadith we just read. You read any kitab in which there are only hadith. What will happen? You'll put your own interpretation. If you read a hadith kitab like Fazail Amal of Hazrat Shaykh, how much detail Hazrat has given in the explanation. So now you'll get the proper understanding. If you read Ma'ariful Quran of Mufti Shafi Saab, which is available in English also, you'll get proper understanding and explanation of the ayats. But if you only read translation of the Quran, and you're on your own, even for ulama, this is dangerous. We'll start reading our own meanings into it. And that won't be the right. The same with the hadith. If you read any kitab only of hadith, like you take a simple example, a famous hadith, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Now if you just take the actual the facts of the text, then what is it? A Muslim is only that person who does not harm, who does not inconvenience any other Muslim, neither by his tongue nor by his hand. So any Muslim who inconveniences, harms any other Muslim, so what it will mean? He's not a Muslim, which will be the wrong meaning. You'll need the explanation of the ulama to get the proper meaning. And then this hadith says that Muslim, yeah, what it means actually, a perfect Muslim. So a perfect Muslim is not he who will harm any other Muslim. Yeah, again, what idea you will get in your mind? That he can harm non-Muslims. Because the hadith says he mustn't harm Muslims, which is also wrong. And only that person who has this full knowledge of all the hadith, who has studied properly, he will be able to tell you that, yeah, why Muslim has been referred to? Because normally a Muslim stays with Muslims. But actually, a Muslim is not allowed to harm non-Muslims also. And then again, you'll get another wrong idea also. That means I can't make jihad also. Because then also I'm going to be killing non-Muslims. No, everything to understand it, the hadith is so, the basic hadith, But the proper understanding of it, you need a, so like that the whole of deen. And then again, min lisani wa yadihi, he must not harm him with his tongue nor with his hand. So any other way then I can harm him. Like the Jews, they were prohibited from fishing on Saturday, so they made other plans in it. If you have the proper explanation, you will understand the laws of Allah properly. So anyway, so preparation for akhirah that we have to do, which Allah Ta'ala is commanding, and which the Quran is full with, from the beginning till the end. That don't we be, does dunya, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. How many ayats the Quran has explained. So what does it mean to prepare for akhirat? The first and foremost thing is that our aqaid must be correct. And this is especially in today's times. And in fact, many times we think only today are fitnas. Allah has kept fitnas, that means azmaish, test, all the time. Right in the time of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were tests also. Many of us think, if we were in that time, how nice it would have been. But there were all the munafiqs also. Whether we would have been munafiqs at that time. We who are so weak the way we are. And where we should have been able to pass the test. So there were tests in the time of the Sahaba. What tests they were? When the Sahaba, they also had, they made war between themselves. Which side should we be? How many people lost their iman in that process? So it wasn't easy, whether it was the Tabi'in, the time of the Khilafat, of the Abbasi Khilafat, or the Umayyad Khilafat, all the time there were tests and tribulation. So even today there are. So today with regard to our iman also, a person must be very, very particular and careful. And just don't sweep things under the carpet. That well, whatever I believe, it's all right. One person, a nice person, he's still living, I think, he must be very old now. When we met him, at that time also he was old, proper, regular, five times, damazi, everything. He said, Mali Sahab, I want to ask you one question. I said, no problem, what is it? So he says that like, Allah is there, and Allah is the Allah of good, and Shaitan is also a power. What was in his mind, that there are two gods. The Shaitan, the God of good and the God of evil. This was one firqa, one group in the history of Islam that believed actually like this. That there are two gods, a God of good and a God of bad. And Shaitan is the God of bad. And there is a fight between these two gods all the time. The one wants you to do good, one wants you to do bad, so whoever wins, etc. So if a person got a aqidah like that, he's shirk. He's believing in two gods. Shaitan is Allah's creation and he's fully under Allah's control. Then this is not our subject now. Why does Allah allow him to do all the evil that he's doing? It's a whole explanation and it's easy to understand. But that's not our subject, but there's only, so there are many aqidahs where people have got wrong beliefs. They have come into us. And especially at high schools, not to such extent, but at universities, the enemies of Islam, the Shias, the Qadianis, the Salafis, how they are working we cannot imagine. And our students who are at these places, our children who are at these places, they are exposed to this all the time. I explained once before, in this Ramzan also, one good friend of ours who attends Majlis regularly, and his son went to university, and today he is not only a Shia, but he is a propagator of Shiaism. He is giving out videos of the Shias, etc. Like that, if you see him, he's a good boy at home. Everything, obedient boy, parents are happy, but the parents must be knowing by now. If they don't know, they don't know. But the friends who are at him at university, they told us all this. That he's busy, when he meets with me, he still meets also. And he meets very nicely also. He must be thinking, I'm not aware of all this. But inside, and whichever tactful way we can, we try and tackle it and try and bring it to his notice. But when a person is so deep into it, he's not prepared to listen. And our youngsters are very, very shrewd or very sharp at home with us. They will be very sweet and they know what we like and what we want. They'll just play that tune with us, talk with us like that. They'll even come namaz with us, everything. But on their own, they're doing their own thing. and they're doing it in a big way. So if we are paying for Shiism, because we're supporting him, we're feeding him, we're clothing him, and he's an agent of the Shias. If we are paying for Qadianism, and the least is the freedom and the modernism and all that evil, that is not a word, aqidah, but that how lot evil is carrying on. So very, very important, not only for ourselves, our family also. And in fact, when this kitab gets ready properly, then make ta'aleem of it at home. So that our whole family, like say how many gunai kabira. In fact, one gunai kabira we read that to mas jamaat namaz, not to make namaz with jamaat. And yeah, it has come to, we have been informed, there are some of our satis who don't make their fajr with jamaat. They go and sleep away. We are in the masjid, and if we are not making our namaz with jamaat, and it's a gunai kabira, a big guna, and we don't make tawbah also from it, and we don't abstain from it, we carry on. So therefore, it's very important to know all this. The knowledge is the imam of amal. If there is no imam, how will namaz take place? Imam has to be there. We have to have this knowledge. And just to pacify ourselves, well, we're just carrying on. What we learned, we didn't learn when we were small, we were left ignorant, or we learned wrong, or we didn't learn, and we say, well, we're just carrying on. If you got aqidah of akhirat, and the most important in the qabr will be question of aqidah, beliefs. That will be the first exam paper. The exam paper, the first one, if you fail there, you don't sit for the next exams also. The kafirs, they won't sit for the exams. They'll be thrown into fire of Jahannam. If you fail your exam in the qabr, there is no next test for you also on the day of Qiyamah. So aqaid are very, very important. So inshallah, hopefully this kitab gets ready soon properly. Acquire a copy and make ta'aleem in the house. See that our aqidahs, our children, Allah says, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. It is your duty also that you save yourself and your family from the fire of Jahannam. Our duty, you're not a good father, a good husband, well, because you're providing house, water, electricity, food, the freezer is overflowing, the fridge is overfull, pantry has got more than enough, the cupboards are overflowing with clothing, but you're not worried of the akhirat. You're not worried of the deen. That you are lacking totally in your duties. And how many people, they go and sleep straight after Isha, and then the family gets busy with evil then, till 12, 1 o'clock. Many cases, the young children are gone out of the house, father have to get up for tahajjud. So he's sleeping straight after Isha, and the children are running, what gunas they are committing. We are responsible for our children also. And we are greatly responsible for them also. As the head of the family, not just that we throw our weight around and shout and show we are the big shots in the family. No, our duty is to see that we bring the proper upbringing of the children. So that is very important. The aqidah, our aqaid must be correct, is the most important. The second thing that we have to see to, in order that our preparation of our akhirat is our ibadat. That all our ibadat must be correct. In there, the most important of all ibadat is namaz. How many of us who go for umrah regularly, we go in jamaat regularly, we come in khanka, we make etikaf also, but our namazes, how many of us we are still missing our namazes? And it gave me what a jolt and a surprise that about 2 weeks ago when we spoke on the similar subject, one mufti sahab came to me and he told me, from now I've decided I won't make my nafils, I'll make my qazai umri. I was surprised, mufti sahab got qazai umri. This is a case with many of us. When we go for umrah, we are there with our namazes or whatever. And how many, even in umrah we miss out, not only with the jamaat. Namazes become qaza. So that is not preparation for akhirat. Preparation of akhirat is that these basic things, they come in order. Many of us, lot of the nafil, the extras, that we involve, shaitan's one ploy is this, to get you involved in bid'at in fact. And so much in bid'at, or in nafils, so much in nafils, while your farz you are not doing. Whereas the most important, the basic thing, your farais. So our namazes must be in order. Then the quality of our, if we got qaza-i umri, one friend asked me also, in this Ramzan, is it sufficient? And some people advocate this masala, that for qaza-i umri, you make 2 rakats qaza-i umri. You just make 2 rakats qaza, all your umri qaza namaz is done. There is nothing like that. You have to read every of your qaza namazes. Whatever you have missed your qaza namazes, and your witr also. You have to read your witr also. 5 faras of every day plus your witr, the qaza you have to. And together with that, you have to make tawbah of having made your, if you made all your qaza namazes, you covered them up. But you didn't make tawbah of the guna of missing those guna namazes on the time. That guna is still on your head. The namazes are off now. You made your qazas. But the tawbah of that guna also you have to make. And a proper tawbah. So that also check on ourselves. And many of us, we feel that Haji sahab, mashallah, nice big beard, topi, beard, very pious. But how many namazes are qaza? And we go and read in Fazail Amal, for one namaz that we make qaza, what is the punishment? Just for one namaz qaza, read in Fazail Amal and see the how severe it is. And how many of our namazes are qaza? So we bring that. And mashallah, there are enough ulama everywhere. Speak to them and ask them. And it's not difficult. And Allah's help comes in such an amazing way. You can have 10 years, 20 years qaza umri. You just start reading and you'll see how easy Allah makes it. And Allah will make it very easy and you'll cover it up. And once you are on your way covering it up, if you have to die, Allah will say, my banda was trying, he started. Then I have great hope Allah will make it maaf. Allah's system is this. A person wants to become a hafiz, and even if he learns one ayat a day, and he only finished half a supara, and his maut came, Allah will raise him amongst the huffaz. Because he was on the way. A haji who is going for hajj, and on the way he passes away, he didn't make it for Arafat, he didn't make it to Makkah Sharif. Not only will Allah give him the sawab of that hajj, Allah appoints a farishta to make hajj on his behalf every year. So just be on the way, be on route, be on the road. And so our qaza umri also, start and make them. And it's not difficult, it's not a lot extra time in that whole day you'll have to be making qaza namaz. It's very simple, very easy. But ask the ulama, see that correct way, and our qaza umri. What rozas, another thing, how many people are not keeping rozas? Our rozas have to be in order. And the farais, the example of the farais is what we are owing Allah Ta'ala. So we are not paying the what we are owing. Somebody is owing you 100,000 rand. He's not talking of that. But he comes and visits you regularly also. And then he brings sweets and biscuits for your children also. Hey, you get more angry on that. That 100,000 is not talking about it. And when people, he tells people, I'm so good to you. Whenever I go and visit him, for his children, I take sweets, I take ice cream, etc., biscuits. But he's always, he doesn't even want to make salam to me. He doesn't give me a good face. But he doesn't talk of the 100,000 he's owing. We are owing Allah so many farais. And then we want to cover it up with nafils. Nafils are good, but that comes after farais. So our farais, our rozas, and especially for our ladies who have to miss every month rozas, and this procrastination, and how many good ladies, alimas, their namaz, their rozas have piled up so much. Now they look at it, it's such a burden, and you haven't got the courage to start with that qaza. And anything it is, even if you are owing people money, and lot of money, it's not difficult to. You make your firm intention, sincerely in your heart, I want to pay. It comes in the hadith, Allah promises His help to that person. So this is our biggest debt. Our namazas, our rozas that we have to pay. You make your niyat, Allah will make it easy for you. Alhamdulillah, such of our friends also we had, who realized in their youth when they were at college, high school, and just for fun, just to show their friends a point, see, I can break my roza. And he takes something and he eats and he drinks. For no reason. He's not hungry, he's not thirsty. But just, that's an attitude amongst youngsters. I can do this. And he does, and he drinks his cold drink and he breaks his roza. So they realized, and they kept the 60 rozas. And not difficult, Allah made it easy to keep if you have broken such a roza without a valid reason, you have to keep 60 rozas, plus you have to keep that one roza which you made qada, plus you have to make toba of your guna also. But you just become conscious, this is akhirat's fikr. If our niyat is akhirat, but if our niyat is just to show we are Muslims, so our beards are there and that by that we get blood, we have titles of Haji Saab, Tablighi, Sufi Saab, titles of Maulana, Hafiz Saab, but our namazes are not in order. And many, many people they are like that. And by Allah Ta'ala, there will be pure justice. Justice will be meted out with everyone. And we also, with our beards, topis, we look every time in the mirror, people respect us also, we also start believing I am pious. Eh? Just by a beard and topi, you don't become pious. There is much more to it. That is very important. But many of us feel that many times when we discuss also, oh, he, mashallah, he full sunnah beard he got, he's always in kurta, that means he's a pious person. But that is not enough to make you pious. What is inside you, that is going, in the qabr, that is going to come out. What is in you? So our rozas also, zakat also, qurbani which is wajib every year. There are so many people who got this in their minds, that zakat once in a lifetime is wajib, you have to pay faraz. Qurbani is once in a lifetime. That I finish make qurbani, last year I made, and now every year I must make. No, qurbani you have to make. And Arabs have got this one other, that you make one qurbani, and it's enough for everyone, in the whole family. Like the dalil that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made on behalf of the whole ummah. That is nafil qurbani. That you may not. So they say that one qurbani is enough for everyone, so everyone don't have to slaughter. One qurbani is enough. And in qurbani also there is lot of detail. Our hajj, if it has become faraz, don't delay in performing the hajj. How many go every year for umrah, and when you discuss you come to know they haven't made hajj stuff, but they are going every year for umrah. This is our priorities which are totally upside down. So the ibadat must be in order. That is extremely important. Preparation of akhirat means we prepare all this. Preparation of akhirat, then we see our muamalat, our financial monetary dealings. Firstly see, is my income halal or not? That is very, very important. Ulama advise, if for example somebody's income is not halal, working in a bank, in an insurance company, that in this times, don't give up your job immediately. But immediately start looking sincerely for another job. When you find a suitable other job, then don't delay. Then change into a suitable. That also the ulama, see how much they consider us. If you are earning 20,000 and now you settle for a job of 5,000, you won't be able to manage. So look for a job where you're going to get 20, and if you are sincere, Allah's help will be there with you. Then if many of us started our business, our empires with haram money, we didn't give the shares of the mother, the shares of the sisters, brothers we did down, and today we build a big empire. Find out from the ulama. And there are ways out for all this. Islam has shown a way out. So much so, Islam is taught, if you are in your parents' lifetime, if you were disobedient, they have passed away now, Islam hasn't shut the door. There are still ways that you can be written by Allah as an obedient child. For as the ulama, what must you do? I was very disobedient. So what we discussing, if we have built our empire with ill-gotten money, we do wrong money, and now don't be happy, and guna, that 20 years have passed on the guna, doesn't get it written off. Till we don't make tawbah, till we don't correct it, it's important. It's not that it's an old debt and the person says, well, just write it off now. It's 20 years, there is no hope that you're going to get this. I'm paying, already paid 10 times more zakat on this debt. This person is never thinking of paying. I'll just write it off now. No, it's not like that. That guna remains a guna until we correct it. So that is also very, very important, that all our financial matters we correct. Many of us, we wonder why my life is not going right. Why I'm not getting connection with Allah. Why I'm not getting the closer. There is something. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say, you are standing at a freeway and the cars are zooming past. Your car is stuck. Doesn't mean cars are bad. There's a fault in your car. In your fuel pipe, there's a blockage or whatever else. There's something wrong in your car. You got a flat tire. That's why you can't zoom past how the other cars are going. Fix up. See what is, find out what is the fault in my car. Otherwise, Allah has not put us in this world to suffer. Allah has not put us in this world that we have been difficulties and hardships. There is something wrong. But normally, also this what bluffs us is those titles of us and our appearance. That I'm a Maulana, I'm a big Maulana. How can there be something wrong in my life? Other people are wrong. But if there is a problem in your life, whatever it is, your finances, your domestic, your health also, if there is something that is wrong somewhere, normally. Otherwise, there are those people whom Allah wants to raise the stages, whom Allah has fixed a high place, so Allah puts them into... But for our sake, don't think that Allah has put a high stage for me. We must take it for our safety, there's something wrong with me. So we'll only speak in that context. There are other aspects also. But for our context, take it, because we just get little bit leeway that now this is only a test from Allah. And this is only that Allah wants to raise my stages. There is something and you can correct it. And Allah has given you that strength and all that means that you can correct yourself and your life. Allah wants to give. Islam is that religion of peace, of Jannah, not only when we die in this dunya. Islam gives you that wonderful life. If the proper Islam is in us, in this world you will get that enjoyment of Jannah. Your whores will come on their place. Your whore is in your house already. Your wife which Allah has given you, she is Layla, but that's the Mawla. She is that whore which Allah has given you, which Allah has given you. She only made her halal in the name of Allah. Allah gave. If we're not getting the enjoyment of the marriage life of Jannah in this world, then there is something wrong also. Otherwise, you have to enjoy. There is no boredom that now it's one person studying his, after a few days of his marriage, is very engrossed in studying his marriage certificate. His wife asked him, what you studying? So what you looking? Say, I'm looking for the expiry date. You won't have to look for expiry date of your nikah. You'll want the nikah that never expires. But if there is, if we're not getting that enjoyment, there's something wrong somewhere. Correct it, and you can correct it. And the best is blanket amnesty, ask Allah. Those gunas which I don't know and don't know, which I admit and which I don't want to admit. They are there, I know they are there, but I'm shrewd. To myself also I'm shrewd. I'm not even sincere to myself. Become clear, really, and this is what were the Sahaba. قَالُوا نُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. The munafiqeen should say, we must believe like the stupid people, those who are simple, straightforward people. The Sahaba were down to earth people. But today we only regard when I can cover up and I know how to butter up even my chef. And when I go in Jamaat also, how all the elders also, how I butter them up. And I put them in my tiki pocket. I know what to tell them and how to get the mashuras in my favor. These things don't help a person. They destroy a person. But the sheikh also, we know how to, we just pull a few strings and we bring some hadiah and we use some nice flattery language and then we just get our way. We are just bluffing ourselves. يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم إلا أنفسهم وهم لا يشعرون. They don't even know they're bluffing themselves. And right in the Quran Sharif at the beginning, so Allah, not only that we recognize the munafiqs, these munafiq qualities mustn't come in us. That the shaykh, we also can just write some nice letters and cover it up with some nice words, and in the meantime we're doing all other things. It doesn't help. You can bluff your shaykh also. He's also a human. He's not alimul ghaib. You can bluff the elders of Jamaat also. You can bluff the other people anywhere. One student who came to Dioman to study, he was studied in another madrasa. He failed in his second, third year, but he wanted admission in a fifth year. And then when they didn't, naturally they tested him, they say, you can't. He said, but I saw a dream. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that you must go to Dioman and get fifth year admission. So he says, that we'll sort out with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Akhirah. But here you'll have to study first year. Not even second, third year, you'll have to study first year. So many people in all fields, they try and bluff their way through. In dunya matters, you get your way through. We think in dini matters also, we use the same. What our diplomacy and our chaplaincy, and we use that. We try and use it, yeah. But you can use it, but you are only chopping your own feet. You are harming yourself. So we have to be clean in these matters. So Mu'amalat also see that we are clean in our matters. Instead of having biryani every day and nobody eats, even the rich don't eat biryani. They also eating more junk food. Rather just eat sandwiches, eat dar, eat simple food. But see that our rozi is halal. And wallah, the noor and barakat, eat simple halal food. You can't dream of it in biryani which is haram. And samosas which are haram. You can't dream of it in those things. And that simple food, what barakat it will give you. And this area, many of us, we act as though Islam hasn't taught us anything about this. And this is one of the pillars of Islam. Mu'amalat is one of the great pillars of Islam. There was one person in Dioban who was a very poor person cutting grass and selling it in the market. But every day's money, he should save a small amount. And the elders of Dioban, once a year he should make their da'wat with that money. And they should wait for that da'wat. And they say, when we ate at his place for 1 year, we felt that noor that was coming. When Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah Ali became a visitor at Imam Muhammad rahmatullah Ali's place, Imam Muhammad told his daughters, a great, great buzurg, alim, what a great faqih is coming. How they went out of the way preparing his room, bedroom where he's going to sleep, musalla, lota with water, food, everything. When he came, first thing he did, all the food he ate. So the daughters asked the father, what kind? You said the big buzurgs don't eat much. Eh? And he ate all the food. The second is, he didn't even get up, he didn't even make wuzu for fajr namaz. The lota we put there, he made his fajr with the same. He slept whole night and he didn't make wuzu also for fajr. Forget niyat of wuzu for Shafi's. Imam Shafi didn't make wuzu also. And he made his fajr. And one third thing. Then the father told, Imam Muhammad spoke to Imam. He says that I saw the anwarat and barakat. So I thought I won't leave this food. Now it doesn't mean we also start like gluttons and we eat that here khanka food. Oh, I see barakat in here. Where are we to see that barakat? Anyway, then he said, she says that you didn't get up for tahajjud, fajr you made without wuzu. He said the whole night that barakat and noor of that food, I made istimbat. I took out 100 masalas from one ayat of the Quran. So I didn't sleep the whole night. Where was it necessary for me to make wuzu for fajr namaz? That's why the water in the lota was still full all the time. So this is in this year the noor that is in halal food. And not three types of food I usually say I've got great barakat. Jamaat, and that what the jamaat prepares themselves. Not what people give them dawahs. And not today's when they buy from Machachos and Kentucky and all that. No, what they cook, even if they bake beans, you cook yourself. Or you just bought some potatoes and peas and the jamaat cooks it. The anwar and the barakat in there is tremendous. The khanka food that is prepared in the khanka. And a darul ulum food, the food of the darul ulum. But sad how shaitan has made it. On a Thursday night, especially the big night of the week, the students' line that starts from here reaches right till the shops at some time. And from there back till here, the whole line, they're all buying takeaway food. And they're leaving the best food that is here. But your food not right? How? Then we wonder why our students, we can't produce such students. The food we have to see, it's very, very important. So anyway, and halal food, not only that the food is halal and that it is healthy and wholesome, but the money with which we buy it must also be pure. One person buying from a butcher and told the butcher, see that I only eat halal, it must be halal. So he told him, no problem, my meat is halal, but is your money halal? With what you are buying that meat, is your money halal? Today, how lot our business practices? Who of us are prepared to ask the muftis whether we are doing our business transactions are correct? And in all our income, if one of our transactions is wrong, we spoiled all our money, all our income. And how many of us, our transactions, which are so wrong in so many ways, but we're just keeping quiet about it. and we feel that everything is alright, make sure our income is also halal. Then our mu'asharat, how our social living, that also is preparation of akhirat. We can be big buzurgs, our money also 100% halal, and normally that will produce the good effects. But if it doesn't, like for example, we're treating the wife very badly. How many of us, we've got that very holier-than-thou attitude, and we treat her like a piece of dirt, that she's, what is she? And her feelings. And how many of us, that we pick on her so much, that she herself thinks I'm a mental case. Many cases like that. But one poet says, to drop a dropping person is no achievement. That person is falling down in life, whatever. Hey, Allahu Akbar. Haji Muhammad Amin of Rosmond, Rahmatullah Ali, very pious person, he told me once of Maulana Qasim, my brother-in-law, Maulana Qasim Zubair Ali. He met him and he asked him for the address of a certain alim who graduated in our madrasa, was also in the Bosmont area. And he said that this person, whatever he went wrong in his life, perhaps he did wrong things, and he was being thrown down, like nobody cared for him. He said, this man needs a support. He needs somebody to give him a shoulder, to help him. So that is a person who's falling to pick up that person. Ye kamal hai. To drop a dropping person, he is going to fall. That is no achievement. But to pick up a falling person, and how many of us, how we treat our wives. And if it's not the husband, then it's the mother-in-law, sisters-in-law. How they pick on her for everything, whatever she does is wrong. And every time, and she also feels that I'm a useless. And with rare cases, it's the opposite. Where the mother-in-law picks on the son-in-law all the time. You're a useless, you don't know how to earn, you're terrible, etc. So that is not the life of a mu'asharat, adab-i mu'asharat, respect people. The respect of a Muslim is so much more than the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. To respect a Muslim, and yeah, your immediate people, how we treat them. So many of us, especially ulama, and why we suffer, our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum explained, that in the masjid, because our reading is very good, we give very good lectures or whatever else, everyone respects us, shaking hands, even putting hadiyah, oiling our palms all the time, giving something in our palms also, and we really think that we are buzurgs. When we go home, she doesn't even know that somebody came in the house. She takes no notice of you. Yeah, everyone jumps for you. Yeah, she doesn't even take any notice. You get angry with her. And you feel that she doesn't know anything about deen, that she's a stupid. She's an ignorant. I'm a big maulana. So this is totally wrong. Respect, and respect of your immediate, and our children also. A person who keeps on picking on them, they start suffering in that complex that we are useless, and then they don't do anything. Our Shaykh stressed on this very much, that your children also today, the only way, Hazrat used to say, is to get the best of whatever you can get out of your children, whoever are under you, is by praising them. Always, whatever little they do, praise them. You make them feel happy. Whatever little achievement, you'll get lot out of them. Instead of always just attacking them, finding fault in them, being behind them and finding fault, you destroy. How many children, when parents treated them like that, afterwards when they realize, they in fact swear their parents. That's not the way to bring up parents. This is also a thing of its own. So our mu'asharat also must be correct. So all our departments, after that, now you can turn to nafil. Many of us, when we see buzurgs not doing nafil ibadat, not getting up for tahajjud, not making ishraq, we say, what kind of buzurg is this? And we ourselves, the example of this, our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum gives, a person who's got cancer. He's terminally ill. The doctors have given him 6 weeks or whatever, and he's laughing at a person who got a cold. That person sneezes and, oh, what a sick fowl. And so sick. And he doesn't realize how sick he is. He's a terminally ill cancer patient. And he's laughing that that was sick fowl. How he's sneezing. How he's coughing. See his voice, how it is. This is our condition. Our own condition is so bad. And we're laughing at other people. And how sad of those people who find fault in buzurgs. And your farais are the most, your aqaid is the most important. After that, your farais are important. And then, but we, just because we do some nafil, Some of our friends, this also important to discuss. For example, Anwarus Salah, we heard how namaz must be. Our namaz, we didn't improve. But then we're finding faults in the ulama's namazes. And the phoning here and finding fault in the ulama because we heard Anwarus Salah. Anwarus Salah is not in our lifestyle. But now we are finding fault. Many people, there's another very big danger. Like in the ijtimas, they have an ulama program almost always. And then they announce many times over and that no non-ulama masjid. But some feel we are the fathers of ulama. We are the dadas of the ulama. One such person, he sat in the bayan, and then when he went to his town after the ijtima, and he started lathering the ulama. And he's an ordinary person. You make big fitna. That now Mufti Zainul Abidin gave the talk. He had the authority to speak to the ulama as he wanted. He had that authority. Ulama are all young people in front of him, and knowledge-wise, taqwa-wise, everything. He had the right to lather them. Now he also thought he's also Mufti Sahib. And he started lathering the ulama in his town. We destroy ourselves and we make big fitnas in this. So even if we came to Khanqah, I don't think we are big Sufis and we go home and we start finding fault with everyone. How they are, how their namazes are, etc. No, worry about yourself. Remember when you point a finger to somebody, automatically you are pointing three fingers to yourself. These three fingers point to you. You are exposing three faults of yours when you are finding a fault of somebody else. So all these things we must make correct. Then another thing which is also which we are neglectful, that istidad lil maut qabla nuzulihi, to be prepared for maut before maut comes, to have all our matters sorted out. In other words, what is called an Islamic wall. And in Islam, many people have spent so much money. Also like people who are conscious of deen, they go to lawyers to draw up their will. That paper is not worth the ink it's written on. Because it's totally against Sharia. The lawyers, what they know, they make their will, your wife so much, your children, in case your wife remarries, this condition, that condition. In Sharia there is nothing. And everyone's share, Sharia has fixed already. If we cannot change those shares, we cannot give anyone more and we cannot deprive anyone who is a legal inheritor according to Sharia. And the Quran has explained that and asked the Huffaz how difficult way the Quran has explained that and what brains you need to take out that masail. What our fuqaha, how they took out the masail, the deep intricate masail. Just by the wordings, the grammar of the words, etc. What masail have been taken out. But anyway, that Allah has done. What is our wasiyah? That if I've got any qaza namazes, it must be written. If I've got qaza rozas, it must be written. And then make your qaza, not only write it down, but then annually, minimum annually, then you update your will. Last year I had 2,000 qaza namazes, today I got 800 qaza namazes. Make it known so that your executors of your estate, it's very simple for them. Everything is on record. This person, so many namazes, or you not any of your namazes, then alhamdulillah, even write it. As far as I know, I haven't got any qaza namazes. No qaza rozas. But if we have got, it's wajib to write it down. It's compulsory. If we don't disclose it, that is a guna of its own. To disclose it and to say who we are owing money, who is owing us, where my money is kept also. Many people, because of the fear of crooks, they hide their money in different places. So to write it down, it's very important. Otherwise the inheritors, the executors don't know where your money is kept. How much is kept, where it's kept, they don't know how much is it. And then the children will be deprived. And especially if there are minors involved, then it's a serious matter. If there are grown-ups, all can make maaf. But there also, see that we do it properly according to Sharia. So that is one thing also, which we are very negligent. And how many fortunate people, their kafan is ready. And other people, kafan is ready, but preparation for kafan is not ready. That is all these things we haven't done. Poet says, kafan that I've reached already on my kafan, but I haven't learned how to die. I made hajj and came back, but I haven't learned how to make hajj. the title of Haji I got already, and I'm already now marhum, and I'm already now a dead person, but I didn't learn how to die. Allah says, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't die, but in the condition of being a Muslim. So that is, so that means that you had submitted, that you had prepared. And wallah, a person who does that, we won't have this dilemma which we are having of today. A person is 80 years and 2 months he's on the life support machine in the ICU. How much money he's spending? Even if he's like that in that unconscious coma state, but we don't want to die. Because we haven't prepared for akhirah. What you haven't prepared for, you spend all your life savings and give it away to the doctors and give it away to the clinics at this time. But if you had, you'll be eager to die. You'll be eager to go to Allah Ta'ala. And then you'll be eager, looking forward, if we have prepared for more. And then you won't be frightened to die. What the Quran said so clearly for the Jews, that in zantum annakum awliya lillahi min duni nas fatamannahu al-maut. Today we are frightened for mort. Who of us can say that I desire for mort to come? Mort must come. What our basic preparations we haven't done. So this is very, very important. Then to have a will in order also. And to sort out all our matters before time. And don't think that only after 60 then I can die. Death comes to any person. And there are so great fazilets, I don't remember them all, but 5 great fazilets of having your will ready. When you have died, everything, and the will must state clearly all your dini obligations, if there are any qaza namaz, any qaza roza, etc. Then your financial obligations, etc. That must be written out very clearly. Some people wrongly have got a secret second wife, but nobody knows about it. Now that is not written, her inheritance is there. It's not written there. And if she has to come and claim it, big problems. There is nothing like secret marriage in Islam. Alanu bihadha nikah. Nikah must be made publicly. Not secretly you make nikah. What kind? That is not Islam here. There is no Shiism and Muta'a and all that here. Yeah, if you make a nikah, you make it properly. And our Shaykh openly discourages second nikah. He says, I know it is sunnat, I know it is the command, but the experience that Hazrat has had, and don't try even think of a second nikah. You are just putting, you want sunnat, you want to make ada, and you people are speaking against sunnat. How many haram you fall into? And how many farais you break in that? Allahumma ala Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, somebody told him that you opened the door for second nikah. He said, I closed the door for second. Because how I had made my nikah. Hazrat, he didn't have children from his first wife, so he married second again. That if a watermelon came, he would cut it in half. And exactly both sides, weight, etc. Not just by whatever scale he should measure, and make it exactly. The person brought 2 watermelons, one for this wife, one for that. He says the one may be sweeter than the other one. So that one watermelon, Hazrat should cut it in 2, this half, and both watermelons, half, half, half of this, half of that, give it to, who of us can do that today? We cannot, it's impossible. Don't fool ourselves just because of our lust and that, and then we break so many, and we destroy ourselves in the process. So anyway, all this, this is preparation for us. Then Allah said at the end of the ayat, again, wattaqullah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. How one way of acquiring taqwa? Well, tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat liqad. See what you have prepared for akhirat. By that taqwa will come in you. And when you have done that, now don't think I have a holier than thou attitude. I'm better than other people. I have prepared everything. My will is in order, everything. And you talk like a big farishta and that. Wattaqullah. Have fear in Allah. You don't know how still your mort can come. So have the fear of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. And Allah explains this first ayat. Don't be like those people who forget Allah. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. They are made to forget themselves. Those people who want to earn dunya so much, just live it up, have lot of money, and they forget Allah and the commands of Allah. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi has written that if we are so busy in getting our income, that we haven't got time for our islah, And we haven't got time to go to the ulama, to our sheikh, for our islah. I say, Maulana Thanvi says, Rahmatullah Alayh, I say such income is haram. Because your akhirat is your object of life, not your dunya. So if you are so involved in earning and you haven't got time for your islah, to learn your deen, then you are involved, you are thinking I'm earning and I'm feeding my family, but it is haram. Even if it's 100% halal, but you are so occupied, it's such a job, you can't get off from there. And you got no time, even Ramzan you haven't got time for your deen. And you are so occupied, Maulana says, such an income, I say that income is haram. So our deen is first. So have that taqwa. Don't act as a very pious person that I've done so much and these other people, they got no time for their deen. Ramzan also they don't observe. Don't let words also that smack of that, that the smell of that comes, that words also must not be. And our mashayikh, our elders, especially who I notice, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he should catch us out with, on our words. That, oh, so you are very big word, muttaqi. So you are, there is riyakari in this. You are showing off your amal in here. And so this is very important, the correction of our things. So it is very, very important that we keep our niyat dunya, and the more we will read Quran, zikr regularly, and we have one bayan on that, our ma'amulat, we cannot overstress how important it is to do it regularly. We won't outwardly see any benefit immediately. Many people are waiting for some light to come, some different color lights, lataif and sitta, and they become alive in a person, and meeting of farishtas and getting smell, nice smells, that is nothing. It is your yaqeen in your heart and your direction that you are going, these things. And by regularly ta'aleem in the house, zikr in the house, tilawat of Quran Sharif, regular contact with your sheikh, these things will come into a person. And then you will be preparing for akhirat. Don't worry about farishtas coming to make salam to you and spreading their wings for you. All that, don't worry about. You worry about the deen coming into our lives. And this is, if a person will do it regularly, Allah will bless him with that. May Allah let us prepare for akhirah. Let us realize that is why I'm in this world, and for what I have to prepare. That is my purpose in life, and I must prepare for akhirah. And it's not only giving bayans, it is the actual amal. The best cook in the world, who makes the best soup for winter, most tastiest, and after that you don't sneeze also. Not one cough also, nothing. So good soup he makes, and he's giving it free of charge. But till he doesn't drink it himself, he won't get the benefit. He'll get the sawab for giving others free of charge also. But till he don't drink it, he won't get the benefit. So all this is not for bayan, it is to make amal. Some of us, that we only feel that all this is for bayan. Hey, no, it is for amal, we make amal ourselves. Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Thank you.